You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood in for Kai Ryssdal.
A huge number of people in jails and prisons in the U.S. have some sort of disability. In fact, that number is anywhere between 30 and 50%, depending on how you count it, mostly mental or cognitive disabilities. Advocates say jailing people is an expensive and ineffective way to treat behavioral health. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has a look at one story that ended in tragedy.
All his life, Kevin Matthews loved gifts. Not getting them, giving them.
My birthday, Mother's Day, Christmas was very, very special to him.
This is his mom, Valerie Johnson. One year for her birthday, Kevin got her a pair of pink running shoes, pink leggings, and a pink crown to wear to the party.
And I said, I'm not going to wear that for my birthday. He said, that's what I bought it for, you to wear for your birthday. So I put it on. And boy, it made him so happy. He had the biggest smile on his face.
Kevin lived with his mom on the northwest edge of Detroit. When he was 11, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. This is his older sister, Kim Matthews.
From the day he was born, as he started growing up and we saw something was wrong, we extra loved him hard. We gave him extra attention, extra love.
As an adult, she says he liked to wander the streets, talking to people, and that's how police usually came into contact with him.
It was mainly because of his illness that he did get in trouble here and there.
He went to jail a few times, small stuff related to alcohol, a couple dropped charges. She says he wasn't worried about time in jail.
He'd be like, oh, it's okay, you know, I'm gonna be all right. I met these people, they're really nice.
But his family always worried something would happen. Even at age 35, he was vulnerable, easy to take advantage of. And then something did happen. Last December, his mom was waiting for him to come home around noon. She called Kevin's girlfriend, who was just around the corner.
I said, what you doing around the corner? She says, it's a guy around here just got killed. Then I felt it.
Valerie Johnson's gut feeling was right. Just around the corner on the border of Detroit and the suburb of Dearborn, her son was laying out on the street. Kevin Matthews had been shot at least 6 times by a Dearborn police officer. The family says they stood behind a police barricade all day, but nobody talked to them. They still hardly know anything about what happened. In a press release later, police said they were pursuing Kevin on a suspected larceny. After a struggle of some kind, police said an officer, still unnamed, discharged his weapon, and they said Kevin was unarmed. Ron Haddad, the Dearborn police chief, added in an interview that officers in his department knew Kevin. They knew his face and where he lived.
I am very confident that not only him, but most people we come in contact with, we treat in a very civil manner, but particularly Kevin Matthews. He was treated very civilly on more than one occasion by members of our department.
Sometimes Kevin would do things like go to sleep on the street. Haddad says at least once officers gave him a ride home. He calls Kevin's death regrettable, especially since the department has been working on de-escalation.
I'm very proud of what we've done here over the last 8 years because our use of force has dropped down over 90%.
Haddad says the majority of people his department sees are either mentally disabled or dealing with a substance problem. Kevin's family says he was usually on medication, but when he had an episode, there was nowhere to go, no one to call. And that's common, partly because of long-term cuts to behavioral health services around the country. Michigan alone cut tens of millions from mental health from 2009 to 2012.
The shortage in the clinicians, as well as the cuts in funding, result in really, really high caseloads.
Carmen McIntyre is with the Detroit Wayne County Mental Health Authority. She says wait times can be long, say if you just want to talk to a therapist. So it's easy for people like Kevin to fall through the cracks.
And they're ending up then in jails, which is not appropriate.
Right now, it's impossible to track just how many victims of police violence are disabled. But Lawrence Carter Long, a disability activist, co-authored a study of media reports and estimated the number is between a half and two-thirds. He says disability itself is being criminalized.
If you tell a person who's autistic to freeze or stop, and maybe they're overstimulated at that moment, you're basically asking them to not be autistic. You're asking them not to be disabled, which is really impossible.
Kevin Matthews' relatives have organized several protests. His mom has been too overwhelmed to work, and Kim says she cries every day. But it's his little brother, Lavelle, who is the shakiest.
He was a middle sibling. He kept us together because we all felt like we had a job to do, which was keep him close, keep him grounded.
Lavelle says he's had a hard time in the past, but for the last 5 years, he's had a steady job, tried to be a good parent to his twin kids, motivated by the fact that Kevin saw him, his younger brother, as a role model.
Everything I stood for, everything I was living for, everything that I've been working so hard for to show him and be a better example to him because he looked up to me, is lost. And I can't get it back.
Kevin Matthews' death is under investigation by the Wayne County prosecutor. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.